So we got up to the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, four lines up before the end of Nun Zayin Amud Beis.
Okay.
And this Mishnah is going to tell us how to calculate the tchum of 2,000 amma outside of the city. And the Meiri sort of gives it a little bit of an introduction to this Mishnah, in which he says that since the previous Mishnayos have addressed the question of what's concluded in the Ibur Ha'ir, you know, we have Batim and we have different sizes and shapes of the city, and where we begin to calculate the 2,000 Amma outside the boundaries of the city, now the Tana wants to teach us exactly how to go about measuring this. And it's interesting that the Meiri quotes a Gemara way back on Daf Mem Beis, and the Gemara there mentions that if you're walking and you're not sure where the tchum begins to calculate the 2,000 amma, and you take what's called psios beinonios, that means average steps, then we don't require you to take out a chevel, a rope, in order to get exact measurements. So the Meiri claims that that sugya back on Daf Mem Beis is what we call shas hadchak. And in other words, when you have no choice and you have to go out in order to fulfill a mitzvah and you don't have time on Erev Shabbos to do the medida of the tchum in an absolute meticulous and precise measurement, therefore the Chacham say that you're allowed to shas hadchak, to just take your footsteps, average footsteps, and calculate, estimate what you think is 2,000 amma. But l'chatchila, for sure, he says, a person has to be modeid. He has to use what's called a medida miduyekes, a very precise medida. And that's what our Mishnah is trying to clarify. How do you make this precise measurement? One thing that we want to check out as we go through this sugya is where else in halacha do we require medida, like for example in Egla Rufa when you find a body between two cities, and whether or not the halachas that we're learning here in Erevin, as far as in Erev Tchumen and Chutzut Chum, apply elsewhere in other cases where you require a medida. I'll just add one last line here. In the name of the Chafetz Chaim, the Bir Halacha, he writes, Kol Mokom Nireb Divrei Hakol Midivrei Hakolbo She'im Ein B'day Tolimnos Kol Alpayim Shlemos Yuchal Lismoch Afuchat Chila Medidas Psios. He says that if, for example, he doesn't want to go more than, let's say, for argument's sake, 15,000 amma outside of the city limits on Shabbos, that's all he needs, then he says he could be somech on psios, on footsteps, even lechatchila. And when does the Meiri and our mission apply that he has to be very meticulous about how to calculate it? That's only when he wants to go out of the Tchum Shabbos by 2,000 amma. The Mishnah says, Ein modidim el bechevel shel chamishim amma. So we're going to measure a rope that's exactly 50 amma long, lo pachos lo yaser, it's not shorter or longer, v'lo yimdod el k'neged libo, and he should stand there holding on to the rope at the height of his chest. And we're assuming that if there are two people, each one holding the rope at approximately the same height, because we're assuming that most people are of average height, then there won't be any incline in the rope. Because once you have an incline and the angle goes down, because one person's holding it above his head and the other person's holding it down by his feet, then you're not going to get the alpayim amma. You might be able to, in a smaller angle, less than 90 degrees, you might be able to get even more than 2,000 amma, and we're allowing you only 2,000 amma. So therefore, the Mishnah wants to guarantee that two people should be holding the rope at two sides, and each one holding it at around the chest height. The Meiri once again adds that one person should not calculate the 2,000 amma by tying the rope onto a pole and then stretching it out, but rather dafka, we should use two different people. Then the Mishnah says, Ayomodeid v'higil a guy. Now he gets to a ravine. Now imagine if he would have to go down and up into the ravine. That's going to take a long space, a lot of space. And before you know it, you know, he'll hit the 50 amma, and then over and over again, he might hit even more than 50 amma. Ola gader, the same logic would apply if he has a fence. The word gader usually means gader avanu. So somehow there was a heap of stones somewhere in the middle of the ground. So the ground is no longer flat. And now, if you're going to have someone stand on the top of the ground of this mound, then once again, it's going to expand the rope. I don't mean expand the rope, but I mean to say that before you know it, you already have 50 amma. We want to get the distance on a straight, flat area. And therefore, the Mishnah says in these two cases where either the ground sinks below, that's called in Hebrew shipua, or, and that's relevant to the case of Guy, or in the case where the ground shoots up higher, and that's called a gader, mavlio. What we could do is we can somehow measure the area in pure distance as if it were a flat area without going down into the shipua. And that's going to be achieved by having two people stand. Let's take the case of the ravine. That's a little bit easier. Two people stand on two sides of the ravine holding this rope that's 50 amma straight ahead and not having to go down into the depths of this valley. That's called mavlio. Now, in the case of a mound, it's a little bit more complicated because you can't have two people on two sides of a mound holding the rope straight across because it's going to hit smack up against this mound. But what rather you do is you have each person holding on his side of the mound a rope that first you have a pole that goes up and then turns tilted on a 90 degree angle towards, we'll call it the left. The other person on the other side has such a tilt towards the right. So they're both holding the rope at the chest level, but the rope is now being held up by a pole that goes vertical and then horizontal. And basically, again, it's going to measure the area straight across this mound as if it were a flat area. Now, I have a few notes here, which I wanted to share with you. One is a Ritva. The Ritva says that it seems from Rashi that we should be modeid dafka in a way that the two modedim esachevel are both holding it keneged libam, but the Ritva says that he personally has a different opinion. He thinks it would be advantageous to put the rope on the ground itself. And if both of these people lay the rope down on the ground, they will get a precise measurement of, in this case, 50 amma. However, he says that in some cases, the Mishnah realizes that it's a bit of a tircha to place the rope down on the karka, and therefore the Mishnah allows you to lift up the rope and up to your chest value, so that both of them are measuring it at chest height. But certainly if they want to measure it on the karka, that would be acceptable. Now, the Meiri writes that when the Mishnah writes that both of these two people are holding on to the rope, Keneged Libam, the Meiri says, Meikar Adin, according to the strict letter of the law, as long as both of them are holding it at the same height, for example, let's say both of them will hold it above their heads, or at the level of their ankles, that would also be good. The Mishnah is only giving it Eitzah Tova because the Mishnah thinks that the easiest way of guaranteeing that the rope is being held perfectly straight across is if they both hold the rope at the level of the chest. And the Meiri says we're not worried about the fact that one of the Modedim might be taller than the other one. As we said before, we assume they're both average height. Anoshim Beinonim, he calls them. And here, Rashi writes, Dibra Maskam Avlio, Im Eno Rachav Chamishim Amo. And what that means is that it could work in two directions, this case of the ravine. It might be that the ravine is very, very deep. It might not be so deep. But one thing is common, and that's the word Mavlio, that the width between one side of the valley and the other is less than 50 amma. And he says that it could be, says Rashi, that the measurement from one side of the guy all the way to the other side of the guy might be 2,000 amma or more. And that would, again, you know, really severely diminish the chutzut chum that you're allowed to go. You'd only be allowed to go out of your city up to the ravine and not beyond, because the ravine is so deep, it's already 2,000 amma. But the Mishnah is saying that's not what we have to do. What we have to do is you have to get one of the modedim on this side of the ravine, the other with a chevel of chamishim amma, and see on a flat ground how far we can stretch this rope. The Mishnah continues and says, "Vechozer limidasa." Once they get over the ravine, then, if let's say the ravine is, or the heap of stones is wider than 50 amma, so then it's chozer limidasa. Let me just take a little drink here. Okay, now, the word chozer limidoso here implies that after he does this havla, so to speak, and he gets to the other side of the ravine, he goes back to the original state, chozer limidoso. Now, what does that mean? Chozer. I mean, chozer means he's going back to something that he had, so to speak, deviated from. But in truth, if the halacha medida allows for this havla, so what does chozer lemidaso mean? The word chozer here is a little bit out of place. Now, let's take a look at Rashi. Dibra Maskil Chozer, which you'll see on the bottom of your Amud, he quotes the Gemara, the Mefarish de Miriktoni Chozer Midosu Mashmashim Hoya Rochav Keneged O'ir Yoser Michamishim. In other words, the width going across this ravine is more than 50 Amma. Eni Yochel Havlio Bechevel. Then the whole Halach of Havlio does not apply. Let's underline those words. V'eino yochel avlio bechevel. Why? Because again, the size of the chevel is 50 amma. And now what we're saying is that if the width of the ravine is more than 50 amma, that's called eino yochel avlio. He won't be able to measure it across the ravine, because the rope is only 50 amma. So that much I understood. So Rashi says, what's the bottom line? What's the solution? Holech umavlio sham, umodeid vaholech sham, misfaso vahola, ad kedegin mokom shekolabo sham rochav hagay, I should say, keneged ha'ir. V'chozer limidoso keneged ha'ir u'mashlim limidas tchumen. Let's see if we can figure this out. The language of Rashi is somewhat challenging. We're going to have to find, according to Rashi, a way of, so to speak, circumventing this problem. If the chevel is 50 amma, and we're trying to get across the gay, and we can't get across the gay, well, I call it the gay, but I'm not sure if it's gay or guy. In my Gemara, it says guy. And by the way, right here outside of Yerushalayim, there's a place called Shar Hagai, which is probably borrowed from this word in the Mishnah. He says, Hareach Chevel Orko Chamishamav Bilvad. Ach, Michutz La'ir Bitzideha Heim Nasim Tsorim. So I have to figure out what that word Heim is, but it seems that the 50 Amma gets narrow at some point. Chutz La'ir. V'rochvam Shom Hu Ad Chamishim Amma. Holich Umode L'tzad Ha'ir. Umavliya shom es hagai, o agodabim nidos, lach mikan mamshich umodeid bekav yashar, shiroa shenigma rochvo shel hagai, keneged ha'ir. So let's see if I can just try to picture what's going on over here. It seems that, let's say you have the buildings of the city, and they're in a straight row. You take a beeline, so to speak, a straight line from the outermost house of the city, on the outer bounds of the city, and you stop at 50 amma. Now you're up to a ravine. The ravine is more than 50 amma. So at this point, what Rashi tells you is that you have to sort of, I guess you'd say, walk, let's call it south. Just could be north, but I'm just mentioning a possibility of south. So you walk south to the point in which you reach a distance, the ravine gets narrower such that you'll have less than 50 amma from that point to the other side of the ravine. And then again, you walk straight up to the original beeline and you begin again with your rope measuring straight ground of 50 amma. So if I can picture this in front of you, I don't know if you have it in your diagram. I have it here in the Masifta. He has basically a line that goes this way, out of the city limits. He gets to the ravine. Then he walks down. And then he gets to a point where the ravine is narrower, less than 50 amma. Then he measures across, walks back up to the original line, and continues his measurement. So you have like this, 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 and this. I'm sure there's a word to describe that, you know, like the Big Dipper, maybe. In other words, it goes, shall we call it east to west, then it goes south, then again, you measure east to west, you walk north up to the point where you started with, and it's Keneged, the other side of the ravine, and then you calculate 50 amma.
Yeah, I have a picture of it.
Okay, good. Very good. I have a colored picture, which is really nice. What he does is he has straight lines that are filled in and he has dotted lines. Do you have that in your diagram? Because the dotted lines are the lines where he walks without measuring. in order to get to the point where the ravine gets narrow.
I don't have dotted lines like the tablet. Like a hill, and it goes all the way across.
Okay, so the dotted lines are much more helpful here because they show you. Yeah, because otherwise, you know, if you don't have the dotted line, you might think that he's got to measure another, who knows how many amas going down, and then when he crosses the ravine, another, who knows how many amas going up, and before you know it, it's alpayim amah. But the answer is the walking going down is a dotted line. He's not measuring that. He's only trying to get to the point where he can measure less than 50 amas across the ravine, and then the dotted line going up is not being measured at all. He's just trying to retrace his original line going from east to west. He gila har. Okay, so he has a width which he allows up to 50 amma because of the size of the rope. And he gets to a mountain. Now, in the case of a mountain, you have the following issue. You might want to measure the, what we call in Hebrew, the shipua, which is the point from the top of the mountain going down. And once again, as I dramatize it, before you know it, you pass 2,000 amma. That you don't have to do, but rather mavlio. Meaning that if it's less than 50 amma from one side of the mountain to the other 50, to the other side of the mountain, fine. Then we do that kind of a mavlio that we did before. Again, it's going to be quite challenging if the mountain is very, very high. But if, and let's say, for example, not only is the mountain high, but it's also more than 50 amma wide. So now he says, Kineged Tzidei Ha'ir, Ein Rochvo Ola Al Chamishim Amma. If, once again, there is a point in which he could imagine the ground flat, or not imagine, but get to the flat ground such that he can still measure across and get to the other side of the mountain, but again, not through the mountain, but below the mountain or above the mountain on some flat area, then mavlio chutz le'ir b'tzideha. Once again, you make that straight line, chutz le'ir, from the last house on the outer border, boundaries of the city, and he continues his medida until he gets to the point where he walks up Keneged the Gmar Hahar, meaning where the Har ceases, where it completes itself, and Chosel Midoso, and then again he measures the flat ground like he did before. Again, all this would apply even if, you know, the depth, as we said, of the guy, or the depths of the Mored Ahar going down the mountain would be more than 50 amma. It doesn't matter. We can do this mavlio, and that's fine. Now, it seems from Rashi that in a case where the guy or the goder is wider than 50 amma, then you can't do the regular havlah because we're not going to allow you to expand the rope and come up with a rope that is longer than 50 amma. That would have been a simple solution in the case where the ravine and its width is more than 50 amma. But we have, as we said before, in the language of the Mishnah, lo pachos velo yoser. The length of the Hevel has to be 50 amma. Now, the Rashi, Dibra Maskam of Leo, which is the previous Rashi that we didn't learn, seems to indicate that if there's no width of 50 amma, we could be Mavlio. What happens, asks the Rashash, according to Rashi, if the distance straight across the ravine, if two people are holding the chevel, is exactly 50 amma, chamishim amma b'diuk. It would seem from Rashi that undermines the regular mavlio. And the question is why? Why does Rashi say it's less than 50 amma? What if it's exactly 50 amma? That should be enough to facilitate this mechanics of Mavlio. So he writes that the Tosis Yontif reinterprets Rashi. Rashi doesn't mean that it's less than Chamishim Amah. Rashi only means that it's not more than Chamishim Amah. So that's the way the Tosis Yontif, his name was Heller, and he reinterprets the Rashi. That's what the Rashash claims. Now, Madua Hitrichu Chachomis Hamode Lelech Lahavli Eshagai O Eshagoda Michutz Leirvelo Itirilo Lavlio Bimkomo Hare Mimelo Mavliim Anu Oso Bitsidea Ir. So the question that we're raising here, which is apparently raised by the Rashba and others, is why does he have to be modate straight until he hits the ravine? Why doesn't he just find a place outside the city where there is no ravine? And he says, number one, Lefisha Keneged Ha'ir Hu Rachav Yoser Michamishim Amo. He says that the structure of the ground is such, the terrain, I guess you'd say, that Dafka at the ravine, he'll get the least amount of the expanse of the space of the Medida. And the Mishnah now is being Mekil and saying that he's allowed to get to that area where there's a ravine, and he does the Mavlio, and he's going to end up with less of a size. So I'll read that one more time. Shekineged ha'ir hu rachav yoser michamishim ama. That if he looks for a place that is outside the city limits, that avoids the ravine, he'll end up with a larger area of Medida. And in that case, he's going to also require probably another chevel, whereas if he goes across the ravine, he can do it with one chevel if the width of the ravine is less than or equal to 50 amah. And again, he gila harba vlio chosel medidoso. Again, he's going to measure a place that's beyond the outer boundaries of the city. Of the mountain, the outer circumference on the ground of the mountain, and then he goes back to Medida, so that goes back to the point which is Keneged Ha'ir. Then the Mishnah says, Ubilvad, this is on the top of Daf Nun Ches, Shelo Yetze B'Medidoso Chutz L'Tchum. Now again, we're not talking about Shabbos here. This Medida is going on before Shabbos, but he has to be very careful that in this Medida, he doesn't go beyond 2,000 Amah. And the way the Gemara is going to explain this on Nimches Amid Beis is, Im Ein Hagai Holech Umiatzer Ela Michutz L'Tchum Alpayim Amah Shal Ha'ir. What happens if, in order to find that point where the valley is less than 50 Amah, and it doesn't get any narrower unless he goes outside of the tchum of 2,000 amah, lo yelech l'sham, he's not allowed to walk to that point where he can get a havla of less than 50 amah, the width of the ravine, because that point that he has to get to is beyond 2,000 amah. And the reason for this is, yesh lachush, we're afraid, Sheyizbru anoshim sha'oso mokom shumavliya bo nichnas b'toch tchumei ha'ir. If he's going to measure it from that point, people can get the mistaken impression that that point is included in the Tchum Shabbos, when in fact it is more than 2,000 amah away from the city limits. So this is a sugya later on that we'll get to, Mr. Shem. Finally, the Mishnah says, im eino yochel avliyo. Let's say, for example, you have a mountain that is wider than 50 amah at any point. In other words, you can never, you know, it's like the city is surrounded by mountains, and you can never get to a point where outside the city it's less than 50 amah on flat ground, because you're completely surrounded on all sides by mountains. Bizu Omrav Dostoy Bar Yanim Ishum Rabbi Meir Shamati Shemekadrin Beharim, which literally translates that you can drill into the mountain. What does that mean, you can drill into the mountain? Klomar Ein Modin Es Shipuah. We're not going to measure the angle going from the top of the mountain down to the ground. Eladonin Osam Kilu Yesh Nekev B'tachteim. We imagine as if you would have a drilled a hole through the bottom of the mountain, and you would stretch the rope through that hole. Now, how can you do such a thing? I mean, how are you going to calculate this? And the answer is that one of the two people holding the medida is going to stand at the foot of the mountain. The other one is going to stand a little above him, and he's going to hold on to the rope that is now only 4 amos long. So until now we've spoken about a rope that's 50 amos. Now it's speaking about a chevel she'orko 4 amos. And the one on the bottom holds the rope keneged libo. The one on the top, who's a little bit higher up the mountain, he's going to hold the rope keneged raglov. And the chevel is now going to be lowered to the ground on a straight line. And we're going to do this every 4 amos up to the mile of the har. And that's considered ki'ilu nokvo. And once again, I have a bit of a diagram here in which you have, he draws a picture of many, many people standing on the mountain or sort of climbing up the mountain. He has one on the bottom, and then there's 4 amos, again, in the direction outside the city, meaning towards the other side of the mountain. And the other person is going to pick up, so to speak, the rope at his feet level, and then he's going to lift it up to his chest level, and he's going to stretch it out 4 amos to the fellows a little bit further up the mountain, and it's going to reach his feet, and then he's going to lift it up from his feet to his chest, and so forth and so on, until finally they will calculate the exact medida. Okay, now I have a few other points to make. First of all, as far as the statement in the Mishnah Bilvad, she lo yetze chutz l'tchum, so I have a very sophisticated diagram here in beautiful color. It's got the color of the desert here. And what you have in this particular diagram is, let's say, an area outside the city. And when you get to the last house outside the city, if you measure straight ahead like the beeline, you'll end up with 700 amma. Again, this is just one example of many. And then you're at the ravine. You're at the lip of the ravine. Now what you're going to do is, you're going to take a left turn, go sort of downwards, and get to the point where the ravine is less than 50 amma. Now you're going to cross over to the other side of the ravine, and that's going to add another 1,000 amma. So you started with 700 amma, now you're adding another 1,000 amma, you're up to 1,700 amma. Now you start walking up to the original line, and now there's going to be 300 amma to get to the other side of the ravine. You know, it's beyond the Sfasa ravine, but on the other side of the ravine. And in essence, you've already walked more than 2,000 amma in order to set up this measurement. And that's something that the Mishnah will not allow. Now, I have a note here. He says that Kavanas HaDvarim Yishalo Yetze Michutz L'Tchum Ha'ir Bitzideha, which means that if he's going to have to walk all the way, shall I call it, south, in order to find that point of the ravine where he could measure it 50 amma or less, then he's already walking outside the Tchum of Shabbos. Even though, again, if he would walk around that point and pick up the line where he left it off, he would only add 300 amos to the 700 amos to get to the point of the ravine. That's all told 1,000 amos. But in order to do so, he has to walk all the way around. And to walk all the way around, he's got to go more than 2,000 amos out of the city in this particular case. And he shouldn't have to go, and he's not allowed to go outside of the Tchum HaYir. Again, this is not on Shabbos, but still, people think that the measurement is outside of the Tchum. So he says, "Ksheyesh gai hayotze mitchum alpayim amah lefnei ha'ir kigon sheyotze chamesh meos amah me'atchum v'holach hamoded ve'hivlio b'tzidi ha'ir b'tov tchum alpayim am mokum shunase tsar." When he gets to that area where the ravine is a little bit more narrow and it's less than chamishim amah, v'mamshich limdodo so b'yoso mokum, and now he wants to measure it from that point. He says, if he wants to go back around the Tchum to pick it up where he left off, he's going to have to go alpayim v'chamesh meos amah. Again, he gives all the possible calculations. All right, let's start the Gemara now. The Gemara says, "Minani mili." What's the source for the fact that the length of the rope that we're using for the measurement of Tchum is 50 amah? Rabbi Yehuda Marav, the Amakra, in the parasha of Midos, Chotzer of Mishkan, Shmos Chav Zayin, it says, "Orech haChotzer mea biyama v'rochav chamishim bechamishim." Amar Tova bechevel shel chamishim amah midod. The extra word bachamishim, it could have just said v'rochav chamishim, that the width of the courtyard of the Mishkan is 50 amah. The bachamishim means to use a chevel of chamishim amah in order to measure the chatzar ha-mishkan. And the Chatzar HaMishkan is always the paradigm for Tchum Shabbos. Hi, the Gemara says, I don't know if I could use the word Bach HaMishim. Boy, I need it for something else. Litol HaMishim L'Savev HaMishim. The Gemara back on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis, when it measures the shear of a karpaf, which is 70 amah plus 2/3 of an amah, or otherwise known as shivim amah v'shirayim, is we take the 50 amah of the mishkan, the extra 50 amah of the orach, because it's 100 amah by 50, so the extra increment of the extra 50 amah of the chatzar mishkan, where the orach is beyond the rochav, we have to sort of attach it. We imagine lifting that 50 amah and attaching it to the rochav. Rashi says over there that we divide it up into five strips of 10 amos width and 50 amos long, and we take each one of those strips and we put it around the 50 amah that we're left with. But in any event, we need this pasuk of Bach HaMishim to derive the halacha of l'sabev chamishim, which gets me to the measurement of shivim amah v'shirayim. So how can you use the same pasuk to teach us about tchumin? The subject of this pasuk is not tchumin, but rather calculating the karpaf. So Gemara answers him, kein lema kro chamishim chamishim. All the Torah had to say was 50-50. And that would have been an extra word, chamishim. My chamishim ba chamishim, the extra beis, Shamet mina tarte, to teach me two dinim. One is the shear of a karpaf, that it's 70 and 2/3 of an amah. And the other din is that we measure the tchumin with a rope that is 50 amah long. The Mishnah says, lo pochos lo yoseh, tanu, we learned in a braisa, lo yimdod, he should not measure with a rope that's pochos michamishim amah b'neshe marbe es hatchum. Okay, we'll try to figure out what that means. Velo Yosef Neshem Mimait Es Hatchum. What it means is the following. If the rope is a little bit too short, then it becomes sort of stretched. You know, there's a certain pressure, and there's more pressure to stretch a smaller, shorter rope than there is to stretch a longer rope. So if you use a rope that's less than 50 amah, then you're going to be able to get more than 50 amah out of this rope because it's nimtach yoser. You could sort of stretch it a little bit extra. The same exact rope will now extend for more than 50 amah. If, on the other hand, you use a chevel which is more than 50 amah, then you're diminishing, you're reducing the midas hatchum, because if the chevel is longer than 50 amah, then what happens is it sort of like gets doubled up and folded in the middle, and it gets shorter and shorter. You're not going to be able to stretch it out, and therefore the midah is going to be less than 50 amah. Omer Avasi, ein modu din el bechevel shel afsakima. What's afsakima? Omer Rabbi Abba, nargila. Great. So now I know that afsakima is nargila. Wonderful. Now everything is crystal clear. My nargila. But what is nargila? Omer Rav Yaakov, dikla dechad nevara. In the date tree, on the bottom of the tree, there is a certain kind of a sieve, in Hebrew it's called samach yud beis, a kind of twined rope that rolls around the bottom of the trunk of the date tree, and that's an excellent rope to use for measuring. The Orech, who was before Rashi, he says in the Nevi Yesh Mefarshim that it's a dekel she'en lo el anaf echad. We're talking about a whole different entity, not the twine that wraps around the trunk of the tree, but rather it's a kind of a tree, it's a kind of a date tree. He identifies it as a tree that has only one branch, and that branch itself apparently is the best. Oh, okay, so some want to interpret the Aruch to make it square with Rashi, that a dekel bachur, in other words, it's a young palm tree, and it's lo nikrach adayin el besiv echad shegodel misivosa v'korcho. So it's not that the Aruch identifies this rope as that branch of this particular dekel tree, but rather it's a young dekel tree that only has one sieve that goes around it. And as the palm tree develops and matures with the passage of time, it develops more than one sieve. But when it has this one sieve in its youth, that's the best choice for creating this chevel. Ika diamri. Now we have an alternate Lishna as far as this Afsakima is concerned. My Afsakina, Rabbi Abba Amar Nagila, and then Rabbi Yaakov Amar Dikla Dechad Nivara. So according to the Ika Diyamri, it seems that there's a machlokas here between Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yaakov. In the first Lishna, Rabbi Yaakov was just coming to interpret Rabbi Abba, that when Rabbi Abba identified this rope as Nargila, he meant to say the Dikla Dechad Nevara, that sieve, that very windy, twining rope around the base of the palm, of the date palm. But according to the second Lishna, there's a difference between Nargila and Dikla Dechad Nevara. So we know what Dikla Dechad Nevara is, right? That's that twining rope around the base of the palm tree. But what's Nargila now, according to the second version? So here we have a Sefer Aruch, once again in the name of the Yesh Mefarshim, and he writes that Nargila is Chevel She'osa Miklipas Ilan Shel Egos. So we're no longer talking about a palm tree, we're talking now about a nut tree. And the nut tree has on the trunk of the tree going up and down klipos, many kinds of coverings that you can rip off or strip off And apparently you can use those to make a chevel. The Aruch doesn't give us a clue as to what's the nature of the machlokas here between Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yaakov. Is it a halachic machlokas, a debate, or is it just different options that the Gemara is offering for how to produce this rope? Tanya, we learned in a braisa from Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Ein lecha, we don't have a species, sheyofa, that's better suited for medida yoser mishalshalos shel barzel. We have chains, metal chains, and those can be stretched to 50 amma. And that would be, from a functional point of view, the best option, the most suitable candidate for medida. Avol ma nasa, but what can you do? Sharei Omer Torah, we have a pasuk in Zechariah Novi, ubi ado chevel mida, meaning that we do a medida with a chevel rather than a chain. A rope, as opposed to a metal chain that has many different little chains to it, to different rings to it. So Gemara immediately asks, well, why don't you quote a pasuk in the Beis HaMikdash of the third Beis HaMikdash, which is prophesied by Yechezkel Navi, and there Yechezkel tells you the medida, and it says, Ubiad ish knei hamida, and knei means a kana. Kana is a reed. It's not even a rope. So the Gemara answers, Ahu litare. That kana is used to measure that which we need to measure when we need to measure the width of the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. And for that, all we need is a reed. Again, not going vertical. Obviously, we're going to tip it on its side horizontally. And that's long enough, those reeds are long enough to get you a measurement of the width of the entranceway into the Beis HaMikdash, the Shaar, the gate of the Beis HaMikdash. But other medidos need a chevel, because we have to be able to stretch it much further. So for measuring the gateways that enter into the Mikdash, it's enough to use a kana, which is what Yechezkel was talking about. Tani Rabbi Yosef had a braisa, shlosha chavolim, there are three different categories of ropes, and each one of them is used for something unto itself. One is shel magog, the other is shel netzar, and the other is shel pishtan. Now we're going to see exactly how each one of these three classes, these three categories of chevel, respectively, appropriate for a certain kind of medida. So we'll first start with magog. Magog is made of reeds. These reeds are taken from the Sea of Reeds, what we call suf. And Rashi tells us that in French it's called yunk. Yunk is a translation of the word suf. So these are knei suf. So I don't know if it has to come from Yam Suf, but I guess it comes from those marshland areas, and they produce these reeds that are very soft, perhaps, and can be used to make a rope. And we'll see what we use that for in a minute. Then we have a second category of rope that's netzer, which is me'ole nitzarim. In Hebrew, ole nitzarim means arava klufa. The arava is called a willow, if I'm not mistaken. And we'll check the English in just a minute. And the third category is made of linen, a rope that's made of linen. So let me just take a minute and see if the English adds anything to our understanding. We spoke about the iron chains. We spoke about in his hand he had a measuring rope, and we said that to measure the width of the gates, that would be fine to use a kane, kne amida, a measuring stick. Oh, he doesn't say that it was made of reeds. Just 1 second. 18. He calls it a stick. I called it a reed. but longer distances. A gate is with a stick, but a longer distance measure with a rope. And there are three types of ropes. The first one is reeds. Oh, finally he used the word reeds. Then he has willows. Okay, we didn't do badly. And he has linen. So let's just see if we can figure out what each of these materials are good for. Shel magog leparaduma. This now we learned in the Mishnah in Parah in the third parakeet, she kaftuha. They used to tie down the paraduma to make sure it didn't go flying away. Bechevel hamagog. So in that case, they used these reeds. Unesanu al gabi ma'arachta. I guess that's where they burnt the parah. Let's just see. Ma'arachta. I'm assuming that that's where they did the Srefa Sapora. Pyre. Yeah, I think that's what he means. Where they burnt the cow. That's called a fancy English, a pyre. Pyre. P-Y-R-E. And the ashes of the paraduma were used to purify a person, an object contaminated the tomb of a corpse. And the red cow was slaughtered and its carcass was burnt in a special procedure. The entire procedure was performed with extraordinary care to ensure that none of the components used in the procedure became tame. The cow was tied with a rope that was made of reeds. Ah, why reeds? So we didn't see this. Rashi says because it's not makabel tumah. Let's see if we could find this Rashi. Let's see. You see it anywhere? I don't see it.
The Rashi?
Yeah, I don't see the Rashi that the rope made of reeds is not makabel tumah. I'm curious to know where that is. He doesn't tell you the Dibra Maskil of Rashi. Let me just see if I can... Dibra Maskil Magog. Let's see if we can find a Rashi Dibra Maskil Magog. That shouldn't be too hard. It's approximately halfway down, I think. There it is, Magog, eunuch, Bilaz. Let's see, I have a little hay over here. Maybe he tells me a little bit more about the French. You're from Quebec, so let's see if you can help me over here. Hey, he says that it is a gumma. Not sure what he means by a gamma. Gamma is actually a letter in the Greek alphabet. I'm not sure what he means over here. All right. Unfortunately, I don't have the Targum Metargim, which is in the back of the Gemaras. I'd have to look that up. He translates all the old French into German, basically. All right, so where are we holding now? Oh, Rashi says, there it is. Lefi she'eino mekabeles tuma. She'eino mekabeles tuma. All right, I was hoping for a little bit more information here. Oh, I have it. He says that why isn't it mekabel tuma? Lefisha eno tavui vi arug. So the criterion for Kabbalah's tuma in the case of Kli Eitz, I guess, is when you take it and you weave it to some extent. And this kind of magog is not woven at all. Eno tavui vi arug. And therefore we don't want to use another type of chevel from a different min. Because Chevel Zeh is Eina Mekabel Tumah Klal. Oh, he adds another point. He says that you can find in nature other kinds of ropes from other species other than this Magog, but if you were to weave them, they would be Mekabel Tuma. Masha Enkein, in this case of Magog, it is a min, which is not Mekabel Tuma, even if you were to weave it. So again, we'd have to know more about Tumas Kalim and so forth and so on, but that's the idea, the general idea of a Magog. Now we have Nitzarim. What's a Hevel Shel Nitzarim? And we said before, Nitzarim are willow branches, that I guess you peel off the willows and you're left with the branch itself, is Lisota. Now in the Parsha of Sota, the Mishnah is going to tell us that you have to tie a rope around her. And the Mishnah says, V'yachkach mevi chevel ha-mitzri, mitzri is milosh ha-nitzarim, v'kosho l'malo mitadeo, he says, Me'achar v'akoin koreas b'godeo, tzorch l'kosho shlo yiplu me'oleo. So part of the ritual of Sota is to sort of humiliate her so that she'll admit her guilt, because if she admits her guilt, then we can avoid this whole process of Hashkas HaSota. So part of the humiliation is to rip her garments, but now we have to tie them in a way that they shouldn't fall. And we tie them with this Hevel, which is made of Nitzarim. As we said before, the Arava Klufa. Now, why exactly we chose that substance, I don't know. But finally, we get to the third category of Hevel, and that's Shel Pishtan. And that's for Medida. Medida means three things. Number one, Medida means Tchum Shabbos, our sugya. Number two, it means the Tchum of Ari Miklot, where if he runs within the Tchum after he murdered someone unintentionally, he is protected. And finally, we have Medida in the parish of Egla Rufa. So all these three Doraisa Medidos, assuming Tchumei Shabbos is also Doraisa. Anyway, all three of them require a Medida with a Hevel Shel Pishtan, a linen rope. Let's just see if he adds anything here in the note. He says in note 20, one, a sota is a married woman suspected of adultery. Fine. The dress is torn at the shoulder level, and to prevent the dress from falling off, a rope was tied above her breast to secure the dress in place. He doesn't tell you why we use these myrtle, or these willow branches. Okay, the source for measuring the tchum with a linen rope is in Yechezkel. See the Yerushalmi. And in Sefer Yechezkel, it says a string of linen was in his hand. Okay. Now here in the note, he says that earlier we had Rav Yosef. Who said that Hevel Medida Osu Himisiv Shel Dekel? You remember that? It was made of that twine that was on the bottom of the trunk of the date tree. That was the Hevel. Now we're saying that the Hevel was made of Pishtan. So there seems to be a discrepancy here between Rav Yosef in the original formulation and Rav Asi. I should say Rav Asi is actually the original formulation in terms of the chronology of the Gemara, because he identified this Hevel as Dikla Dechad Nevara, whereas Rav Yosef is identifying it as a Hevel Shel Pishtan. He points out that the Rif and the Rambam Paskin that for measuring Tchum Shabbos we need a Hevel Shel Pishtan. It's got to be made of linen. However, the Meiri writes that you can actually measure the Tchum with a metal chain, because the Gemara says that a metal chain is even more appropriate for measuring. Aye, the Gemara says, based on the Pasuk, B'yodo ha-chevel mida, and it seems that you have to use a chevel as opposed to a chain. a steel metal chain. He says what the Gemara means to derive from Biodo Chevel Mida is that even though, according to the strict Ikar Adin, the letter of the law, we should disqualify a Chevel Shel Pishton from Medida, we should only accept the most precise measurement, which would be chains of metal. But because the Pasuk mentions in Sefer Yechezkel that there's a Medida Bechevel, therefore we could be machshir, but for sure it goes without saying that a medida b'shalshel shel barzel is acceptable. That doesn't seem to jive with the Rambam and before him the Rif. Both of them, the Rif and the Rambam, would seem to disqualify a medida b'shalshel shel barzel. And the logic behind that is because shalshel shel barzel are very heavy. And as a result, they're going to sort of bend down. You know, he won't be able to stretch it straight across. And he's going to be memait in the shear of the tchum. The Mishnah says, Hayamoded vihigia legay or legader mavlio v'chozel midoso. So the Gemara's medayik midatani. From the fact that it says in our Mishnah that after he's mavliol chozer l'midasa michlal, it implies dim eino yochel avliol legay olegader can I get a ear l'fisha rofo shal agay is yosem michamishim amos holech, he goes to the sides of the city outside the limits of the city l'makom shiochel avliol till he gets to the point where the gay or the mound is less than a width of 50 amah of Leo, and there he does the Avla. And then, afterwards, v'tsofer keneged midasa. In other words, he looks at a distance to see where he would have gotten had he measured it from the rochav, the width of the gay, outside the city. And, as we said before, ad keneged oso makom, he's chozel medidaso until he gets to that point. Then he goes back to his original medida, keneged ha'ir, and he's mashlim medida to 2,000 amah. Tmina. The Gemara now wants to be indict this a certain conclusion from our Mishnah and compare it to ha'detan rabbanan to a brisa. The brisa says ayamoded v'igia hamida legay. Im yochel avliyo bechevel shel chamishim amah avliyo v'im lav, if it's too wide for 50 amahs, holech lemakom sheyochel avliyo umavliyo v'tsofer v'chozer limidoso. And then he looks to see where he has the point, which is keneged ha'ir, and he's going to continue his medida from that point. Im hayagai me'ukam. Now the Braisa continues, let's say that this ravine is misaken. It means it curves around, it bends. And it goes around the city on two sides. And therefore, Yefshar Lavlio be osa ruach shekineged ha'ir l'fishu rochav sham yosem mechamishim amo. So it's only after he passes this bend on the sides of the city, then it gets narrow. Is ein amodid rashoy lav liom mitzad batzad v'shuv l'midaso v'loshuv l'midaso keneged ha'ir. Okay, so he has a very sophisticated diagram here, and he gives an example where he leaves the outer boundaries of the city, the furthest house, and he travels and measures 1,300 amah until he reaches the lip of the ravine. Then he takes a turn to the right, and now he hits another kind of a barrier. I'm not sure exactly what it is. Maybe it's a mound or something. And he has to travel 800 Amma going back towards the direction of the city in order to cross over the ravine of 50 Amma. And then he continues a little bit south, and now he's able to walk another 1300 Amma to reach the other side. So at this point, he doesn't really have the ability to be Mavlio, because it's going to be an area of more than 2,000 Amma. So Magdir Viola, Magdir Viorit. Again, you know, we do the old Kidur business, which means we imagine as if it were drilled through. So Hainu Shemitchila Yered B'Madaron, B'Madron Hagei, V'Yimdor Al Yedei Kidur. So he goes down to the foot, or the bottom of the ravine, but closest to the lip. He gets to the bottom of the ravine, and then he measures a straight line on the bottom of the ravine, and then he goes up the height of the ravine, right, that side of the ravine, of the gate, to get to the other side, and that's called Al Yedei Kidur. So you remember that Kidur was, he has these smaller ropes which are 4 amos in length, and he's got one person and then another person. I mean, again, the first person could probably be the fourth person, but anyway, he's measuring down the ravine, because again, he has no choice of Avla. So he goes 4 amos, another 4 amos, another 4 amos, then starts going up, 4 amos, 4 amos, and 4 amos. So let me just see if the English translation adds anything, and then we'll finish up.
Yeah,
we'll just finish this up and I'll let you go. Okay. He says that the Mishnah says he should return to his measuring, and we infer from that if he's unable to span the valley at a point opposite the city, he goes to a place where he's able to span it, meaning it's less than 50 Amma. Even though it's not directly in front of the city, he spans it, and then he looks towards his original line of measurement, returns there and continue measuring. And that's what we derive from the Mishnah. Now we have the Braisa. If he was measuring the Tchum boundary and the measurement reached the valley, if he can span it with a 50 Amma rope, he spans it. If he cannot, then he goes to a place where he's able to span it, and he spans it. V'tzofa v'chozel v'didoso. He looks towards his original line of measurement, returns his measurement. Okay, all that we saw. But if the valley was curved, oh, and here he has another diagram for a curved valley. It's almost as if the town is completely surrounded almost by a valley. Then he says he pierces the slope and ascends. Now, I'm not sure what he means by ascends. First, he has to descend. He pierces the valley and descends. And then he ascends. And then he gil a kosel. When he reaches a wall, ein omrim yikov hakosel. We don't say that he bores a hole through the wall. El omdo v'holichlo. Rather, he estimates its width and continues on. He gives an example here in the note. He wants to measure his western tchum area. The valley to the west is more than 50 amas wide. The valley, however, narrows where it curves around the city to the north, and he can span it there. Spanning the valley to the north is an ineffective means of measuring the western tchum, and the reason is that people may not realize that his measurements there were for the purpose of determining the western tchum. They'll think that he's measuring the northern tchum. And this will lead them to believe that the valley to the west was spanned by a rope longer than 50 amas, and that measuring with a longer rope is acceptable. Okay, so that's where we get up to for today. We're up to Vaha Anan Tnan, which is 4 lines up before the end of Nun Ches Amud Aleph.